Hey, everybody, welcome to another Pop Culture Kiki for Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And me, Troy McEady.
And before we get into blinds, there are two things we need to talk about. You guys know about tour. We got tour dates out. We hope to see you there. If you're nervous to come alone, don't be nervous.
If anything, you should come alone. It's the most fun.
Yeah, you'll meet people. It's a lot of fun. Our first show is in DC, and then we have a bunch of other cities. But again, that's all on our Instagram if you want to check it out. And then shout out to Interview Magazine.
A dream was realized. Like, holy shit. To see our, it's already insane to see that we were like featured in Interview Magazine, but to see our names in that iconic Interview Magazine font, that was like surreal.
It was incredible. Last week we were reached out to by, and actually I think while we were recording, I was like emailing back and forth, and we got to do it. And it was just so exciting. And obviously thank you guys, the listeners. Thank you for streaming us and like telling your friends to listen. I think sometimes, I don't know if you feel this way, Troy, but sometimes I'm like, nobody really listens, right?
Well, sometimes our show feels like the dirty little secret. And like, and we both understand that and we are okay with it. Like, we've come to terms with the fact that a lot of people can't even admit that they listen to our show. So it's like cool when somebody is just like, no, like we, and like in their DMs, they said like, no, we like your show. And it's just like, whoa, it was very surreal. Super cool.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening and like telling your friends to listen. Obviously podcasting is such like a word of mouth thing, especially we're not huge on, I know that I'm on TikTok, but it's not like blind items or anything.
Right. Yeah. That was major. That was like, you know, something I will never, ever, ever forget for the rest of my life.
Something I'll never forget is quiet on set.
Hello.
So as we're recording this, it was just posted on The Hollywood Reporter that Dan Schneider is sitting down to like combat what was said in the documentary. I haven't really been able to sit down and watch it because it's happening now. Yeah. But basically the little clip I heard is them bringing up the massages and him immediately being like, it was wrong. It was so wrong. And should we tell them what we're going to do next week?
I think so.
You want to tell them?
So we really obviously wanted to talk about all of the episodes and just all of the stuff. There's so much information. And of course, normally we would do it in one of these Kikis, but it's just too much. So we were thinking about doing something similar to what we did for Diddy, which if you haven't listened, we just read through all 75 pages of Diddy's court docs and talked about each line. And we were thinking about doing that with this documentary because there's just too much to cover. Like, there's too much to talk about, too much to unpack. Like, and we're both so psycho obsessed with this. Like, I know we both have a lot to say. So I think that our Patreon episode is just going to be a full breakdown.
Totally. And one thing Troy and I are really like, I guess stand pretty firm is like we don't like doing emergency episodes. And when something like this comes out, you know, there's going to be a bunch more to follow within the following week. Like, I'm curious to see if Will Friedle, or I think that's his last name, Will Friedle and Ryder Strong say anything on their podcast. Like, I'm really curious to see if anyone else comes out. You know, I know people have their thoughts on like Ariana Grande not speaking out, and obviously Liz Gillis, who's best friends with Ariana Grande. Liz is married to a former producer from a Nickelodeon show who's much older. Like, there's a lot more to dig into than just what was in the doc. And I actually think Troy and I can do like the heavy lifting on that end.
Yeah, there's just way too much to discuss. And also, it's just so nuanced, like all of it, the Drake of it all. I mean, that alone is like a 30-minute conversation. Like, it's just, but yeah, we, of course, we are watching. We are seeing all the things. You guys have been sending us stuff. This is crazy. Like, this is like kind of our Super Bowl, honestly.
Totally. I guess, what were some of your like main takeaways? Because for me, it was actually the leotards. Like, obviously, there's a lot that was talked about, but I remember seeing that like fetus wrapping skit. I remember that from when we were young. And I never in my head thought like, oh, that 14-year-old boy is probably uncomfortable.
Yeah. the leotards were wild. Like, just the idea that everybody was so hyper aware that the jokes, the point of the jokes was to see how far they could get, how much they could get away with and how far they could push the boundary, because mm-hmm. they knew adults weren't seeing it. And it's like, I kind of agreed with that woman, the mother of one of the kids from the show, who said, like, you know, are they trying to like indoctrinate kids? Like, are they trying to like put it in kids' minds that these things are okay? Like, you're doing cum jokes, mm-hmm. but children's show, and showing lots of different people get cummed on, in quotes. Like, what are you doing? So like, that was crazy to me. And also too, just like the putting a face to kids talking about like working abusive hours, like mm-hmm. doing abusive stuff on set, like those skits with like the skit that they showed with like the sugar being poured in their faces. And
you would think that would be fake sugar.
Yeah, I know. That's at least what you think in your head when you're a kid watching it. Like, surely children aren't just pouring gallons of sugar in their mouth. And then for it to like, it was so sinister that it like congealed and turned into like whatever it turned into. And they were like zooming in on them, spitting it out and shit, like that, the long hours. Like, it was just crazy.
I think the craziest part is the Brian Peck did not shake me, because we've already done an like episode about him. But seeing the video of him rubbing Leo's arm, I will never forget you sending me like the clips after we did the Bermuda Triangle episode.
Yeah.
Just, like, remembering that was so like, oh, fuck.
And honestly, seeing that on an actual television show be talked about how we talk about it was surreal. Because that clip has been like floating on the internet, but you only see it on like message boards and gossip sites and stuff like that. I never thought I would see the day where an actual documentary on TV would show that clip and show it in the right context. Like, this is weird. This is weird. You cannot make this not weird.
Totally. Totally. So I hope everybody like understands why we want to give it a little time and also space, because this is kind of why we started Beyond the Blinds, honestly.
It is. Like I said, it's our Super Bowl. This is like, I just could not believe what I was seeing for many reasons, you know? It just felt surreal that they were actually talking about it. So, but yeah, I'm excited for us to do a, you know, give it what it deserves, like a real, at least hour-long discussion.
Totally. And I hope you guys enjoy it and join us in the conversation. Because on Patreon, with episodes like that, we like to read the comments. And there's like a lot of great conversation that happens in the comments that we maybe didn't even think of when recording the episode.
Yeah. And also, people follow us that have like insight. Like, people follow us that are like very insightful, work in the industry, have friends in the industry. Like, the stories are insane that our listeners have. So it's always interesting to see like what people will say.
Really quick, I wanted to talk about Grey's Anatomy. We don't need to dive into the show, but it's back for its 20th season. And Ellen Pompeo is like fully back.
Like, oh, really? Fun? Okay.
Like, Ellen Pompeo's in the promo pictures. She's heavily featured in the first episode. So I genuinely think this is the final Grey's Anatomy season. I think they like wrangled some shit and they were like, Ellen, can you like come back for this one last season? And then we'll just end it.
Is she being paid $100 billion per episode?
Do you think she has like creator credits by this point?
Oh my God. That's, I mean, I can't even imagine how much they had to offer her to do that. But that's like, you know, if it's time, like, it's been on for a very long time.
It's the 20th season, Troy.
Like, not even Top Model could compare. Like, that's wild.
It's like Grey's Anatomy versus Law and Order.
Yeah, right. That's exciting now that she's back.
Yeah, and I'll probably watch it because I do think it's the last season, and then they'll probably renew it and I'll be pissed that I watched it. I don't know.
Or they'll reboot it with a different name, Another Person's Anatomy. I wanted to talk really quickly about, so actually another thing that happened today, Beyonce released her cover art. So we saw she's having the horse moment, the moment that I've begged, pleaded, and like put out into the universe. I need her to be a horse girl for a couple months. And we got this gorgeous photo of her on this horse and the caption that she had posted either on her website or on Instagram. I just thought was really cool. I won't read the whole thing because it was kind of long, but I just thought it was really cool that she acknowledged that she was treated really poorly when she performed at the CMA Awards, and that like it inspired her to lean in and dig in and to figure out like the history of country music, and like all it did was just kind of make her more passionate about doing it. And I wanted to give a shout out to this girl that I follow on TikTok. Her name is Little Debbie. And she posted this really cool video about the actual meaning of Beyoncé's album title. And I really highly suggest going to her actual page. It's like a 10-minute video. But I just want to give a quick synopsis because I don't think many people are talking about this or even have knowledge of it. So she talked about this woman named Maybelle Carter, who was from the Carter family. And the Carter family is known as the first family of country music. And apparently Maybelle was known for playing the guitar in this really unique way where she would like scratch. It was called the Carter scratch. And it turns out it was invented by a black man named Leslie Riddle, who taught her how to play the guitar like that. And they would travel around the country and ask people if they had like unique family songs that nobody else knew. And they would make the song for these people. And then they would turn the song into like a big, huge smash hit. And they were like traveling all over the place, but mostly on the border of Texas. So like they have all this like Mexican influence in their music and stuff. And basically the Carter family wouldn't have been the first family of country, wouldn't have been successful without this black man teaching her how to play guitar. So I just think that that's really cool. And like, I love shit like that.
That is amazing. I'm glad you like found that video. Shout out to that creator.
Yeah.
Do you think that she left the CMT Awards and was like, I'm going to make all of them fucking regret this night?
Yeah, I do. I think that she was like probably looking at those comments on the video being posted and was like, I'm going to make, like, she started writing 16 characters that night. You know what I mean?
And I know she mentioned that she's going to have features. I really think her and Dolly will have a song, and her and the Chicks have to have one.
If her and the Chicks don't have a song, it'll be a real missed opportunity.
Totally.
But it'll be really cool to see who she collabs with. I've heard a rumor, and people have said in our comments, I didn't know this, but that she was collabing maybe with K. Michelle.
Oh. And
that's interesting. Yeah, I'm just very, very, very excited. She isn't as dusty in the photo that she released as I'd like, but there is dust being kicked up under the horse. So I'm excited about that.
Speaking of new music, I did listen to Justin Timberlake's new album. I wanted to hear if it lived up to the hype. You know, they were trying to say that this was going to be like another Future Sex Love Sounds, and that's a great album. This album, to me, sounded like Filthy from Man of the Woods.
Okay.
Just over and over. He did have one song called like Drown, I think, which was okay. His best song on the whole album is the one with NSYNC.
Interesting. Is it fun? Because that's the big promise, that Justin is fun again.
I mean, I don't like it. Whatever it was, it almost Levels by Nick Jonas turned up on steroids.
I saw somebody in the comments on the Shade Room. It made me laugh so hard that they had posted a clip of his Tiny Desk, which was very, you know, Justin is so talented. Like, it sucks he has to be such an asshole. But they were like, you guys ruined him when you bullied the black out of him. And it's kind of true. Like, once he got bullied enough for trying to be black, his music went full stale. So I hope that he's appropriating culture again like he did. Nobody does it better.
Honestly, I don't understand. Even his song Say Something with Chris Stapleton, like, that was a pretty decent song. Like, Justin, go country. That's where your audience is. That's what you sound the best in. Now, like, I'm over him singing in a falsetto all the time.
Well, he did start off as a country rootin' tootin' little cowpoke. I don't know if you've seen him on Star Search, but the Spurs were shiny. The pants were up to the belly button.
Well, it's time to put the spurs back on, Justin, and lean into country music, because in my opinion, that's the only way he will ever be able to like get back to where he was.
Kelly said, root and toot or die. Yeah. I really quickly wanted to talk about Jennifer Lopez for a second.
When I was a 16-year-old girl running around those blocks in the Bronx.
Crazy little girl. I cannot recall a time when I have seen the public's response to a celebrity the way that they're responding to J-Lo. Like, it's actually unprecedented to me. And for the public to just simply reject you, to say, no, we don't want the documentary, we don't want the live action, whatever, we didn't want the album, we don't want you in bit. Like, people are literally just they're telling her no. Like, and it's crazy, like, the public without realizing it, like, they're banding together to stop J-Lo. And it's insane to me. Like, it's wild.
As someone who has disliked J-Lo for as long as I can remember, it's so weird to see people on, like, TikTok talking about it. And even on Facebook, people are, like, posting anti-J-Lo stuff. At this point, I'm just like, now I feel bad for J-Lo. Maybe I'll switch. Maybe it's time for me to like her.
She can't post anything.
Mm-mm.
And like, now she's at a point where she, even what she does post, she can't even predict whether it'll become a meme.
Right.
Because who would have thought that random clip of her saying, like, in the Bronx, up and down the block, like, who would have thought that would become a meme, you know?
And what sucks is J-Lo is like a force to be reckoned with, but she tried too hard.
She tried too hard. She oversteps her boundaries. And I think that she just has not adapted to modern day celebrity. I just think she lives in this world where she was like the queen of print media.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny it. Like, in a slow news cycle, Jennifer Lopez, there was nobody smarter. But now it's just, it's not the same. And I also think, so I don't know if you've seen, but like with this current wave of J-Lo hate, people from her neighborhood have been speaking out about her from the Bronx, from the alleged block. The people from the block who were on the six with her up and down this alleged goddamn block. People are being like, girl, I knew you. It's all lies. Like, there was a girl that posted that went to her high school and was like, first of all, I went to the same high school as you, Irish Catholic. Like, you're not the girl that you're claiming to be. We were not walking up and down the block. And not even just that, but there's also been a lot of people coming out from the Bronx and from her neighborhood being like, she treats us like garbage. She's mean to people when she comes here. She won't look at people in their faces. She treats kids bad. And her neighborhood has reached out to her many times publicly asking for money because there's kids playing basketball in the street on glass. And she says no. Like, they asked her to build a playground at her middle school. She said no. Something that wouldn't even be a quarter of a pair of fucking shoes that she owns. You know what I mean? And she won't, like, that to me is so confusing. Like, I say this all the time. Like, I'll never understand celebrities who don't just choose to throw money at their problems. Like, even if you are a wretched cunt, you're still doing charity. It's still happening. The playground's getting built and it makes you look good. To publicly say no to helping the community that you want people to believe is so near and dear to you is crazy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think even with like her song Jenny from the Block, we all knew she was still being like, no, I'm better than you. But I think now with celebrity, you have to have some kind of like humble pie, I'll call it. So the way she's talking about it is different. And like the way she's really leaning into it, people are fed up. It's like, you are not some girl who can go back to your old neighborhood and be like how Rihanna is in like Barbados, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, where J-Lo's like, ew, poor.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want you, girl. They don't want you. And like, there's too many horror stories. I'm sorry. There are too many stories of people being like, she came, she was here. You know, I saw another TikTok of some guy being like, you know, I had a friend who was like the biggest J-Lo fan, and she was here filming something because she came there to film something. I don't remember what it was. And everybody, of course, like ran to where she was, and she treated everybody horribly. And they were all waving at her, and she wouldn't acknowledge anybody in the neighborhood. Like, isn't this the block, girl? Really? Like, it's just crazy. It's absolutely insane. Like, I know that she's having many sleepless nights right now.
Is there any way for her to bounce back? Because honestly, I think it's through Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
But all Ben Affleck wants to do is his Dunkin' Donuts commercials.
You know, I think that if she had chosen to be truly vulnerable in that documentary,
mm-hmm,
and talk about the stuff that people say about her, Ashanti, Irv, Ja, Mariah, then that could have been a real moment for her. That could have been a real page turner moment for her to acknowledge the Mariah of it all. That would have been crazy. But she chose to just do the same thing she's been doing for over 10 years. Like, I'm unlucky in love. I picked the wrong men, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just, at this point, it's actually absurd, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, because J-Lo's type of celebrity, like you said, doesn't fit with current day. There's nothing about her where she can, like, kind of drop the mask or something, or hold up a mask, right?
Yeah.
Like, to change anything.
Yeah, and, like, what's so fascinating is, like, even in that documentary, like, it just kind of showed how not self-aware she is, because, like, there's a scene, for example, where, aside from everybody telling her not to do this movie, Benny Medina, her team, her hair people, they're all saying, don't do the movie, it sounds bad. And then Jane, this moment really stuck out to me when Jane Fonda was like, I think there are two separate Jane Fonda scenes. One where she's like, I see you and Ben all the time, and you're always getting your picture taken, and like, why can't it just be for you? Like, why do you have to present it this way? Because it seems like you're trying to prove something to people and you shouldn't have to. And it went completely over her head. And she was like, well, I'm not doing that. I'm just living my life. We're just living our life. It's like, girl, she's saying, stop calling the paparazzi. Mm-hmm. Stop getting dressed up and dressing Ben up in these fucking pony costumes and sending him out to walk the pier. Nobody believes it. And like, she didn't even get it, you know? Like, Jane Fonda tried to help that young woman, and she still didn't understand.
And if Jane Fonda can't help you, no one can.
Right. If she can't talk sense into you, it's over with.
So it's been really weird with Bruno Mars as of late. Over the weekend, allegedly, he had a $50 million gambling debt with MGM Casinos, and like, Twitter went wild. A lot of people were saying, I saw him lose $17 million one night. Other people are like, there's no way you could have a $50 million debt. Like, a casino won't allow that. So then today, MGM came out and said, no, that was fake. We don't know where that came from. We don't know anything. I'm like, what did Bruno Mars do? Like, what did he do to make that story come out? And how did he fix it? Because one thing about Bruno Mars, I've gone to the MGM in National Harbor in DC a few times, and he does like mini residencies there. Like, he'll do like a few days in a row of shows. And I've always been like, that's fucking random. But of course, when the story first came out, I'm like, oh, he's paying his debts off. Okay.
Well, I'm the last person to know anything about like gambling debts in Vegas. Like, I don't know how that works, but like, to me, Vegas is one of those places where it's like an equalizer for like famous people, wealthy people, celebrities. Like, you can be a famous person or a person of stature and still be driven out into the desert and threatened to get your head cut off. You know what I mean? Like, Vegas is like scary. So I can't imagine what he did to get that handled. You know, like, I've heard crazy stories of famous people in Vegas having, like, Pam Anderson married Rick Solomon because he said he would pay her Vegas debt. She owed money. She was poor and broke and owed money to the casino. And he was like, well, if you marry me, I'll pay it. Like, Vegas is wild.
It's crazy. When I was there in September, some guy told me he was a high roller at the at Paris Hotel. He's like, some nights I'll drop like 40 grand, but I'll get it all back plus some. I'm like, you spent $40,000 at a casino holy shit.
Once. Like, excuse me? And you just don't know if you'll get it back. Pardon?
Couldn't be me.
Could never be me.
But I like that Bruno Mars. He kind of reminds me of like an old school celebrity. Like, allegedly, all he does is cocaine, gamble, sing his songs, great performer, and just like lives kind of off the mat. Like, there aren't blind items about him other than a few about him doing coke. Because I've tried to do a Bruno episode.
Well, I like the idea of him running all, like being chased all over Vegas and having these wild Vegas experiences that we'll never know about. Like,
he's so little, he's like ducking under the ropes, like without any.
He randomly appears like backstage at Katy Perry's show and like darts out because he's like running from some goons.
It's like 21. Right. Now would be a good time to let you know that this podcast is sponsored by Base. We've all been there trying to fit everything we think we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. With Base, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwears for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Base. Base was created by actress Shay Mitchell to make sleek and affordable bags, luggage, and accessories designed to help you travel effortlessly while still looking fashionable. Base has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushion handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need to keep organized. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. So right now, I am traveling a lot between New York and DC, and let me tell you, that Weekender bag is a game changer. I used to always have like my big luggage that I didn't really need for a four-day trip, and you know, you have to check it in, you have to carry it, you have to roll it, do whatever. But the Weekender bag is so easy to maneuver, and when you open it, it stays open. You're not dealing with it falling all over the bed, all over the floor. And I love that it has the shoe part, because I am someone, I don't want my dirty shoes to touch my clean clothes, and with the Weekender bag, there is a shoe compartment to make it separate. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Base has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Base has your personal items covered. Right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/blinds. Go to basetravel.com/blinds for 15% off your first purchase. Again, that's BEIS travel.com/blinds. This episode is also sponsored by Lumi. This just in, body odor is officially canceled for good this time. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private parts odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. We have a special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code BLINDS at lumideodorant.com. And for me, I am someone, I cannot stand body odor. Body odor and me do not get along. It's a tough smell for me, and summer's coming. And I don't want anyone to sit next to me and do that little, you know, when someone like sniffs and you're like, is it me or is it you? And if they're sniffing, you don't have to worry if it's you, because it's definitely going to be on them. It's whole body deodorant. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, underboob, thigh folds, belly button, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. Created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. How? Unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts, more like pre-odorant. It's baking soda free and paraben free, pH balanced for safe use below the belt, and you can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Again, I love Lumi. I think it's really easy to use, and it actually works. I think there are a lot of deodorants that try and say they're natural, they're free of things, and they just don't work. I mean, listen, I get a sweaty back, and I've been putting this stuff on my back going to the gym. It makes me feel real good. So as a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code BLINDS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code BLINDS.
This week's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a walk? Would you read a book? Would you show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. The interesting thing about therapy, especially from, I guess from my perspective, is like, I go into therapy thinking that I'll have like a certain thing that I want to talk about or like a certain thing that I went there for. Usually it has to do with like, you know, your childhood or your parents or whatever. And then you end up having like a completely random discussion about something totally out of left field that you either didn't know was bothering you or something that you need to like focus on in your life more. And that has been very helpful for me. If you're interested in starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. As I tell you guys all the time, if I can do it from bed, I'm almost guaranteed to do it. So the fact that I can do therapy from the comfort of my own home is really the only selling point that I even need. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/blinds today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lines.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes The Competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I wanted to talk about Brianna Chicken Fry and Zach Bryan. And if nobody knows what I'm talking about, that's okay. I understand. Do you have any thoughts about these two, Troy? Do you have any feelings about Brianna or Zach?
Not deeply.
That's fair.
But I would love to know yours.
So Brianna, I followed her for a long time. And she's from Rockland. I'm from Hanover. Like, they're right next to each other. So I love supporting another, like, South Shore gal. But she, basically, when she started her TikTok influencing stuff, she was like a feral rat. That was her brand, was being feral, crazy. She gets with Zach Bryan, and now she's like a little bit more reserved, buttoned up. Now she's just, you know, she's a country girl. Mm-hmm. So this couple has TikTok in shambles almost every week. But what recently came out from the Tea to Talk Instagram posted a screenshot of a conversation Zach had with someone he hooked up with in June. And he was actually like nice about it. She reached out, basically said, I have trichomoniasis, which is a common STD, I guess. And he's like, thank you. I'm so insanely sorry. I'm talking to my doctors. Sorry, it's taken me a little bit to respond. Like, I was actually shocked at how kind of nice he was about it. And this girl also called him her trick king. So one thing about their relationship, Brianna and Zach, is that there's a lot of alleged cheating. You know, she broke up with her boyfriend at the very end of June, started dating Zach, end of June, July, and I don't know. There's just a lot of crossover. And Brianna said, the internet is a weird, hateful place. I've been aware of that since I started in 2019. I've been absolutely silent about the world bashing, tearing apart, belittling, and attacking our relationship for the past 8 months because I'm kind and would rather turn my cheek. Let's make something clear. No, you're wrong. You post pictures of girls like on your green screen being like, you want to call me ugly? Like, or guys, you know, she's ready to call someone out. And I think like a lot of her, she's become like more reserved and people don't like that. And then people hate that Zach Bryan's dating her. So basically it's a non-story story.
we love a non-story. A non-story story is very influencer too.
Totally. So Brianna said, no, we didn't cheat. Zach looks kind of nice in those text messages. Do I think Zach Bryan's a great person? No. Like, allegedly he was married, and while his wife was deployed, he sent her divorce papers. So, like, that's what you're dealing with him? Boy. Is his music great? I like his music, but, like, looking at him, I'm even, like, something's not connecting in his brain.
Not snail mail divorce papers.
He said, hey girl, I know you're fighting for our country or whatever, but I can't fight for this relationship anymore.
And here's some freeze-dried spaghetti. You want to talk about Summer House?
Yes.
Oh my god, the way that Summer House has taken first place in the Bravo universe for me, oh my god, like Vanderpump who?
Well, I want to know all your thoughts, because I know I kind of talked about it the other week, but are you caught up in everything?
Yeah, so I'm completely caught up.
Okay.
I just, you know, I believe that the saying is true that, like, you on reality TV, like, you will, if you're on it long enough, you will become the villain and the hero at times. It's just how it's going to play out, you know? And, like, Lindsay's full villain season has been long overdue, because she's like had seasons where it's like debatable on whether or not like you like her or not. Sometimes she's the voice of reason, sometimes she's like the mature voice of the house, and a lot of that I do think is the edit. Like, I do think that for whatever reason the producers really like her
because she makes a show.
She does make the show. I mean, she is. The show didn't even really start until she showed up there. Like, before, they were just hanging out and grilling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting now that we're finally getting, like, an unprotected Lindsay season, where it seems like the producers are not trying to make her look good or give her the benefit of the doubt or whatever, you know? Like, we're seeing the side of her that Paige has always talked about. And it's really, like, it's, like, really dark. Like, it's like, undebatable dark. And to me, I hate to throw words out like this, but it's like abusive. Like, I think it comes off as very abusive. Like, the sobriety stuff, like, weaponizing him being sober and, like, being like, well, are you high right now? It's like, we all know you're talking about cocaine and not weed, girl. We're not. It's, he knows that, too. That's why he's so mad. Why would he be angry that you asked him if he smoked a joint? Like, that's not what you're doing. I don't know. It's just really, it's very dark. I feel bad for Carl.
So I agree with you, but I need to see the Lyft footage. I need to, like, see what's going on in these cars, because there's also that part of me, like, you know, I have an addict in my life that I'm very close with. And in therapy, something that's always stuck with me is the addict will make you look like the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something Carl's doing that's triggering some response that we're not seeing? We don't know, because it's in the car.
Right.
Do I think Lindsay's right in calling him Cocaine Carl? No. I think the way she's speaking to him is incorrect in everything. But I do think there might be some background we're not seeing. And even her, like, when he brought up the sober sports bar, it's like, that is a bad idea. Where they went in New York is like a really small bar. I've gone there. It's nice. But opening like a fully sober sports bar is not a good idea. But Lindsay can't be gentle. There's no such thing as gentle in Lindsay Hubbard.
No, it's there. It really isn't. And like, and I agree. I definitely, when I watch and I hear her say specifically like, that reminded me of old Carl, or like, everybody knows this version of him. And I do think that the nice guy, Carl is an aggressively nice guy in the sense that like, he's going to make sure he looks like.
Exactly.
No matter what. And I do believe that she sees a side of him that if we actually saw on camera, we would be fucking blown away. I think he's very self-edited and self-produced.
But I think we have seen that when he screamed at Jules, when he screamed at Steven. And you can say, okay, that's Carl when he wasn't sober. But even last summer, he's screaming in the parking lot. He's coming home and throwing t-shirts over cameras saying, I'm not fucking filming.
Yeah. And I think that that's like, you know, it's a sad like response to being the person who's so constantly worried about how people view you. And he seems very insecure.
Very unhappy. There's this deep unhappiness in Carl that I've seen since season two. You know, yeah. when I watched the show, like, Carl has never had to, like, I don't know. It seems like he's so scared to focus on himself because he doesn't want to look inward, right? Like, he's sober. He starts dating that weird, the girl last summer, kind of the blonde girl, and then ends up getting with Lindsay. It seems like he hasn't had any time to get to know Carl, especially sober Carl.
I mean, I would almost say that that's like his biggest personality. Like, that's like what makes it to me is like, he doesn't know who he is. He has no idea.
What he has his no work ethic.
Yeah, no work ethic at all. He's not passionate really about anything. It kind of seems like he's gone his whole life being just like this adaptable, nice guy, or, in quotes. And now he's at this like crossroads in his life where it's like, you have this person who does not coddle you. She doesn't baby you. She doesn't do like, she doesn't mother him the way that he probably is used to, you know?
And she's like, Kyle Cook mothers Carl.
Yeah. And Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, what do you want to do? Who are you? And he can't answer those questions. And that would also really frustrate me, by the way.
Totally. And watching this season, I'm like, I feel like Amanda and Carl and I mean, Lindsay and Kyle would kill each other, but they're kind of the same relationship. Lindsay's this hard-headed, hard worker, you know, work hard, play hard. And that's Kyle Cook, too.
Yeah. And I also think you and I talked about this. It's like it always takes me back to Miranda Hobbs saying that men get to a certain age where they start freaking out because they realize that like you should settle down now. It's what people on Facebook are doing. Other people, you know, all of your guy friends are like posting their Christmas tree and they painted their fence or whatever. So you want to do it. And then you look around and you take stock of like what women you have around you. How long have they been around? How well do they know you? Do your parents like them? How, you know, do they mother you in the way that you like being mothered? And like, if you just so happen to be Lindsay and you guys are in each other's lives at the moment, I'll marry you because it's where I am in my life right now.
Totally. And they were great friends. They were friends.
I know, that sucks.
Friends, and they should have stopped because like, some people you're not supposed to fuck. And I think they should have realized that after season two or three, whenever they tried to date the first time.
Yeah. I thought about that in the last episode. I was like, damn, they're never going to be friends again.
No, you know who they need to bring back? Steven.
You always say that.
Let's stir the pot with Steven. I mean, the way Steven rattled Carl, you have never seen that happen again.
Steven's like, but you did accept a blowjob off of a guy. It was like his whole story arc the whole year.
And Carl's reaction was, you weren't supposed to say that.
He's like, but you said it was the best blowjob that you ever received.
Other than the Carl and Lindsay, how do you feel about the newbies? And like, listen, my girl Danielle, who I love, is not feeding into the drama, and I give her credit for that.
So I like Wes a lot, of course. Who doesn't? We all have a crush on Wes. He seems very charming, really sweet. I really like him a lot. What's the other one's name?
Jesse Solomon.
Jesse. Jesse gives one season wonder Summer House vibes. You know?
I disagree.
Tell me everything.
Because I think Jesse's going to be the one to light the Carl and Lindsay match. We've watched two episodes back to back of them fighting and him being like, what's going on? We're all trying to have fun. We're all trying to have a good time. Yeah. Like, why are they fighting? And I think he's going to be the one to be like, why are you two even like getting married or something?
Oh my God. That would be iconic if it was him.
I have a feeling he's going to surprise us.
I will also say, I was actually talking to Cara Berry about this the other day. So I was able to really like work through my thoughts. Like, I'm obsessed with Sierra. Like, I just think she's so beautiful and so cool. And something that really bothers me is that I think she's really interesting. And, you know, she's got an interesting job. Like, we just found out that she like travels the world and climbs mountains and shit. And like, you know, she's got interesting family life. And it just kind of bothers me that like year after year after year after year on whether it's Summer House, Winter House, Watch What Happens Live, it doesn't fucking matter. Her storyline is going to be about her chasing some white man in that damn house. Like the whole time, there's nothing else going on in Sierra's life ever, according to reality TV, than the fact that she's chasing after some boy and they're sparks and they're really into each other and they really have a connection. And like, but now they're fighting because he's talking to someone and now we're working through it. I mean, we did hook up. It's been 30 minutes. How have you been in the house for 30 minutes and you already dated somebody, broke up with them and it's like crazy to me.
And I hate that she keeps calling Austin funny. Austin is not funny. He yells his jokes. That does not make Austin funny.
I've done the whole funny thing. No, you haven't, babe. No, you haven't. You haven't tried it yet. Luke was a
fuck boy.
Right. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, if you really seriously think back to all of Sierra's seasons on this show, every single one of them have revolved around this like stupid short fling with some guy that we're supposed to be just so emotionally invested in. I don't care that you feel sparks with somebody that you've known for 47 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually so annoying. And she's interesting, you know?
Totally. Like, you were a nurse during COVID.
Oh my God. Like, you've apparently climbed Mount Everest or whatever. Who would have ever known? Like, I would have never even thought that in a million years about her, because we don't know anything about her besides that she's fucking boy crazy.
I will say, if she decides to go back to like being a nurse after the reality stuff kind of ends, if she ever walked into my hospital room, I'd say no. Because like some of the stuff, she's like, what's the lobotomy? I'm like, no.
But we can go to a happy hour if you're free.
For sure. I guess last little one is Paige. I do not miss Paige. She was gone last episode. She was not needed. I think Paige could leave Summer House.
I actually, to be honest with you, I think that Paige is almost better suited on Southern Charm. I think that she should be a Southern Charm cast member. I really do. I mean, you know me. I'm a Paige girl through and through.
Always. I know. Will. That's why I said it quick.
I can't quit Miss Paige. I love her, but I think that she should be on Southern Charm. I think she should be full-time on Southern Charm at this point.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Because that's where she gets ignited, you know?
We can't have two Amandas.
No, no, no. And it's cool to see. I like her fish out of water vibe on Southern Charm, like this New York City girl kind of like not understanding how these weird groups of friends work in that area, like all the pomp and circumstance, the dinner parties. And, you know, like, I think that that's like an interesting, rather than her just like being bored in the Summer House.
Obviously, the Royals, we need to talk about them. I don't want to dive into it. I am so sick of the royal drama. Like, this video, I don't think it was Kate. I know that's crazy. Like, the height differences. Also, why is it filmed like fucking Bigfoot? Whereas like King Charles just came out with a photo to be like, I'm alive. And the picture is basically in the car with him. I don't know how we're supposed to believe that Kate couldn't like sit up for a photo on Mother's Day and then be walking around carrying bags. Like, it's all weird. It's not going to make sense. And Prince William is probably pissed that he's the first real royal within like the social media age.
Oh my God. Yeah. Having to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I don't think the royals know how to work with this. I mean, there are a lot of people saying that is Kate. There are a lot of, you know, it's just kind of wherever you fall in line at this point.
Well, what I think is really funny is like people's responses to this, like people are so divided on, of course, like they're the people that think like, of course, we're being lied to. Obviously, that wasn't her, whatever, you know, and then they're the people that are like, that's so far-fetched. Like, why would they do that? Like, you guys are insane. Conspiracy theorists, QAnon. And it's like, to think, like, it's outlandish for the royal family to lie to the public. You really seriously need to have a conversation with the Mirror. Don't post online. Don't tweet. Don't do anything. Like, you have other fucking issues to work through if you think that that family wouldn't lie.
Totally. And it's crazy. Buckingham Palace was like, King Charles is still alive, and it's still, like, kind of questionable on Kate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the video was wild, though.
I mean, what did you think of it? Because I know that you kind of haven't really dove into the conspiracies, but what do you think of it? As someone who hasn't, who doesn't care enough, I guess, right?
I didn't think that was her. Sorry, like, to quote Andy Cohen, that ain't her. I'm sorry, like... It was, I thought very clear that that wasn't her, but I don't know. You know, I don't have a, what's the saying? A stake in the fight or whatever.
I got you. And Easter, used to see her. Easter, she's supposed to have risen. So we'll see. But obviously, I do hope Kate's okay. Like with all the jokes, like you got to hope Kate is actually okay.
Well, I mean, you have to joke about it to even get through because it's that family is so scary and there's a likely chance that maybe she isn't okay. And that's really scary. You know, I hope she's okay, too.
Yeah.
I very quickly want to talk about the reboot, not reboot. I'm not even going to call it that. The sequel to I Know What You Did Last Summer. So it has been confirmed that Jennifer Love Hewitt is returning for I Know What You Did Last Summer. And the original, I want to say, I could be getting this wrong. And if I am, I'm sure somebody will tell me. But the original, I want to say, writer of the old I Know What You Did Last Summer was quoted in saying, like, that this is the way that Jennifer Love Hewitt is returning to this movie and the way that they're choosing to continue the story is exactly what a fan would hope it would be.
Oh.
And I really was like, that's the greatest quote you can give to like a horror fan, you know? So I just think that's really cool. I love Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm always rooting for her. I would absolutely love to see a big, giant, like huge, like theater payday moment for Jennifer Love Hewitt, red carpet. Gowns, beautiful gowns. I want all of it. I am always rooting for her, and that franchise deserves to have like a moment. And I'm excited that it's not a reboot. I'm excited that it's not a reimagining or a musical. It's just another movie that continues the story, and I'm really excited. And I really hope that they eventually call Brandy and get Brandy back.
It's gonna be fun with social media too.
Yeah, it'll be really fun to be able to, like, I don't know, lean into it more. And, you know, it never gets the, I Know What You Did Last Summer never got, like, the attention that Scream got. And, like, it's a good movie. It deserves it. So I'm excited.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt deserves a comeback.
Oh, my God. Nobody deserves it more.
So the Love is Blind reunion was last week, and our faves, Nick and Jessica, did their best. It was much better than the previous season, but it was still all over the place. Like, they were asking weird fan questions and then had couples from, like, other seasons ask questions, and it was just a fucking mess, per usual. That is what Netflix gives us.
What was that? Was Vanessa sober?
She seemed it.
Good.
She seemed to be more on it. And I know last week I talked about Ginger Snaps on TikTok talking about Jeremy. So Jeremy made a video back about it and he was like, none of this is true. And he came with facts and he came with everything. Ginger Snaps never uploaded another video. So it's his word against hers. I still think Jeremy is a fucking demon of a person. And I want you, actually, you know what I want you to do real quick before I get off this topic? Look up Sarah Ann in her Love is Blind reunion, because she was giving full 2008 prom.
Oh my God, her hair.
Body glitter, all of it.
Wow. That's like, actually, I'm kind of into it. It's very like, it's like, where is the corsage?
Yeah, exactly.
It is so prom. I'm obsessed. She went to the stylist and said, updo.
And what's so funny with Love is Blind, like after the reunion aired, I was like, oh shit, I should probably talk about it on the Pop Culture Kiki, but I don't care about any of them anymore. Like now that we're past the season, I'm ready for the new season to learn like six new names and then forget about them again.
To see if Billie Ann really finds love.
Yeah.
With Michael Joseph. I wanted to, so we obviously have to mention, even though there's really no information about it, but we do have to talk about the fact that Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom are doing a podcast together, a sports podcast. Know me.
Listen, if this was any other trans person, I'd be like, it is so cool that a trans person's out there talking about sports because, you know, they get shit on every fucking day from everyone. But it's Caitlyn Jenner.
I'm like, I can't think of something that people want less.
You don't want Lamar Odom and Caitlyn Jenner to talk to you?
And somebody in the comments was like, I guess they both said, fuck. Like, Caitlyn really said, fuck Chloe. Those girls are not my children.
Well, what's so crazy is then Lamar's commenting on Chloe's picture of her, like, celebrating Rob's birthday, being like, family. I'm like, Lamar, you have been a part of this family since, like, 2011. Let it go.
It is. I hope it fails. I'm sorry. And also just, like, Lamar Odom, read the fucking room. People don't like Caitlyn Jenner.
Or Lamar Odom.
Yeah, really. Or you either. And it's like, are you really going to fucking do this right now? So yeah, there's like nothing else really to say about it, but it's just like, it's a thing that none of us will listen to and it will fail. Sure.
I guess this could be a little Kardashian corner because we did an episode on Scott Disick. And Scott Disick stepped out recently and looks very unwell.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happening. I think it's just something to like put on people's radar. Like Scott Disick looks ill.
He looks really, really sick. And a lot of people are talking about, you know, his like appearance in the most recent season of the Kardashians, where he does talk about like being insecure about his weight because he had gained weight after getting hurt, and like how, you know, he was like desperate to lose weight. So of course everybody's saying like he has Ozempic face, he's on Ozempic and blah blah blah. To me, he looks sick. Like, we've seen Ozempic face.
Mm-hmm.
All the house, he doesn't look like any of the housewives I've seen with Ozempic face. He looks very sick.
He looks like, do you remember when 50 Cent lost all that weight for that movie?
Yeah.
That's what he reminded me of.
Yeah, or like Dallas Buyers Club, Jared Leto, like lit, like emaciated, sunken in eyes, dark circles. So I mean, I hope he's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess just leave it, you know. Hope you're doing well, Scott.
I'm sure Chris has instructed him not to give any interviews about it just yet.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a People exclusive next week.
Yeah, she's like, stay healthy enough to, we're going to film in a couple months here. Again, Kardashian Corner, I want to continue the Balenciaga conversation because a lot of people messaged me about it and like had similar thoughts about Balenciaga in general. And I feel like there's something happening culturally where the tides are turning because, or it could just be my algorithm. has a way of making you think that the world revolves around your thoughts. But like a lot of people that I've seen on the internet have been like, not only like revisiting old Balenciaga shows and old Balenciaga like runways, and like a lot of younger people didn't know that Balenciaga, I guess, had been around since like the 60s and way earlier than that. But like it's been along for a very long time, and it used to be such a reputable, couture, gorgeous fashion house. They weren't always selling duct tape. And so Kim posted this photo. It was like outtakes from her doing fittings in Paris. I think she posted it this past Friday. And she's wearing one of the Balenciaga looks that got dragged during the most recent show. So she's literally wearing a long sleeve t-shirt, a short sleeve t-shirt over it, another short sleeved shirt that is sheer, a leopard tank top, and then a sheer tank top on top of the leopard tank top. She's wearing white leggings with black lace leggings that like go over it, and like thigh high boots. Like she looks like an Express employee in 2008, just like having fun at the store while they're working. It is literally insane. And everybody dragged her. It's supposed to be this like early 2000s inspired look, but everybody made fun of her. And I just can't, the way that this woman is allowing Balenciaga to drag her to the bottom, the depths of the ocean. I'm just like, I know that there are contracts involved. I get it. But oh my God, like this is actually so much bigger than just Kim having like a couple bad looks and people making fun of her. Like her entire career is aesthetics. It's the only thing that drives the next chapter of her life. And aesthetically, none of us are pleased.
What's so funny is when I saw that picture of her dressed like that, all I could think of was the meme, like, Mom, I threw up.
That's literally, like, she looks like a girl who is, like, at a Chuck E. Cheese party going fucking insane. Who's had too much soda and is losing her shit and asking if she can play games on your phone. That's what she is dressed like. It is so insane. But yeah, I really like. And also, Balenciaga isn't even the only fashion house that this is happening with. I feel like it's also happening with Alexander McQueen. Like, the clothes are just not giving Alexander McQueen. And you can tell that the people behind the scenes are trying to recreate this magic that died with Alexander McQueen.
Mm.
And it's also happening with Vivian Westwood, i.e. Sam Smith clomping those big ass shoes down that runway, and the entire world being like, this is distasteful and it's fucking insane. And Vivian Westwood will rise once again to haunt those involved, because this is so insane.
I love learning about fashion through you.
It really is like one of my low-key biggest like passions, but I just never like talk about it really.
Also food. When you get talking about like restaurants, you're so good with like describing a restaurant and like, I don't know, you're very good at like being descriptive. Obviously, you're on a fucking podcast. Like you're good with words, Troy, if you weren't aware.
Well, I very much appreciate that. Yeah, if you guys haven't, I would really advise anybody listening who's not seen them, like, go back and watch old Balenciaga shows. There's so many TikToks right now of people revisiting, like, when they used to be known for, like, tailoring and just, like, immaculate, beautiful design. And it's really sad what it's become. And they're gonna ruin Kim Kardashian's career. I really believe it.
That and the Odell Beckham relationship that they can't quite launch.
Oh my God, the Odell Beckham fucking thing. Just really quickly before we end the episode, we do have to give a shout out to Miss JoJo Siwa, who has released her first song. Is it giving Netflix show? Yeah, we all know that. The song is giving Netflix show, but it's not even giving like would play during the episode. It's giving Selling Sunset credits. Like, it's a post-episode song. It is it sounds like it came from like the Facebook marketplace where they sell unlicensed music. Like it is a free beat with this insane, these insane lyrics over it. It's so embarrassing. I feel kind of bad.
Honestly, JoJo Siwa has turned into such a little terror, like such a little nightmare. And the way that those allegations about her and her mom that Rolling Stones put out just never even touched anything is so crazy.
Yeah. You know, I know that everybody, especially younger people, think that they have to have some sort of bangers, stripped, slave for you, can't be tamed moment. But like, if we didn't know you as a pop star already, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's so mismanaged and so like, it's just a mess. It's really embarrassing.
Seeing JoJo Siwa now is so wild. Like, there's that video that went around for a while where she was dressed like fucking Macho Man Randy Savage meets like Dog the Bounty Hunter. And she's like, hey, I got a question for you. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
Baby, you're just a traitor. A traitor.
I do not think that girl was ever set up to like be a normal human.
No. She is the product of like the most intense stage parents that I feel like you could possibly. Like when you walk into an adult woman's home, the home is themed after her child's image. There's some weird shit going on. I'm sorry. Like, that family is fucked. And I'm just so embarrassed for her.
Me too. JoJo, burn it all down and start new.
Maybe she just a traitor.
I want to see her on the next season of Traitor.
Could you imagine?
At the round table, she'd be like, I don't know, but I'm not one.
She would just be doing like TikTok dances while they're trying to figure out who the killer is.
Doing fucking cartwheels on the round table. Everyone's like, sit down, JoJo.
Oh my God.
Oh, well, that was, you know, I'm excited to really do a deep dive on Quiet on Set next week.
Me too. I'm going to rewatch and Same. Take notes. And I hope that you guys like it. I hope that, I think you will. I feel like after the response of the Diddy episode, and now that we see that you guys are like very open to like experimenting, doing random fun things, expect more of that, I guess.
Definitely. And just a reminder, if you haven't listened to our Bermuda Triangle episode or the Dan Schneider episode, please do. Again, I think that's why I was just like not shocked by that. Like when we were getting DMs being like, can you believe? I'm like, no, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you very much. We love you very much. We swaddle you very much.
And we hope to see you on tour.
And we love you. Bye.